Yeah, you can go to 1 John chapter 4. Start there. Verse 4 of 1 John chapter 4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Tonight I want to take a look at this truth for a few minutes here. And you know what? This verse is rich in meaning here. It speaks of identity. You are of God, little children. It speaks of victory. You have overcome them. And it speaks of the secret of our strength, which is greater is he than is you that is in you than he that is in the world. You see, the born-again life is not about living small, fearful, or defeated, because we are called to something greater. Greater identity, greater power, and greater purpose. So I've entitled this sharing tonight, "We Are Called to Something Greater." Very simple. You know, this verse begins with, "You are of God, little children." And that is identity. That is belonging. Because you know what? The enemy will try to define you by your past, by your failures, by your weaknesses, by your struggles, by this, by that. But God defines you by what the Word of God says about who you are. I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, which says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." You see, through Christ, we are no longer who we once were. Our old life has passed away, and all things have become new. And if that wasn't enough, take a look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 12. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." See, when you received Christ, he gave you the right. You became a son of God. And that is your true identity. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." See, we are not only children of God, we are joint heirs with Christ. Imagine, I got a little illustration. It's kind of cute. Imagine a child who feels small and important. But guess what? If that child's father is the president or a doctor or a lawyer or whatever the case may be, their whole identity changes. They may not feel powerful, but their position gives them confidence. In the same way, when we know that our Father is the King of Kings, we can walk with complete boldness. Okay? So not only do we have a greater identity, we also have a greater power. And let's go to Acts chapter 1. This is, of course, Jesus Christ talking to his disciples right before Pentecost. "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I'm not a Greek scholar, but I do know that this particular word power is dunamis. That explosive miracle working power that is not our own strength, but that Holy Spirit power that dwells within each and every person that is born again. And it goes further in Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. I mean, think about it. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives inside each and every one of us and gives life to even our physical bodies. And again, we're reminded of what that Spirit is in 2 Timothy 1:7. You can quote this verse riding a tricycle down a hill while chewing gum. And you can say it with me if you want. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We do not walk in fear. We walk in power, in love, and in a sound mind because the Spirit of God dwells in us. How about this one? Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah 54, verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Not because of who you are, but because of who is in you. Here's another little illustration. When there's a dark room, all you got to do is light a match. Darkness can never overpower light. Right? Even the smallest candle in a dark room drives darkness away. And in the same way, the power of God in you will always overcome the world. I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 2 here. God has not saved us just so we can survive until the gathering together. But He's saved us for a greater mission and a greater purpose. Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, we are His workmanship, His masterpiece. He knew that we would be in this exact place and time before we were born. And guess what? Jesus Christ said something similar in John 14:12. Talking about a greater purpose. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, I have not figured out what those greater works are, aside from raising the dead and casting out devils and healing people. Those are some pretty great works. But imagine that. Those works and greater works. Maybe one day we'll find out. Matthew chapter 5. This is Jesus Christ talking again. This is our mission. In Matthew chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 14. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Sounds like a song we once heard a couple times. See, your good works are meant to shine, not for our own glory, but to glorify the Father. Paul writes something else in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. It's a good reminder here. "And whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." See, everything you do, great or small, it's part of your greater purpose, which you do when you do it for Christ. You know, and here's another little illustration here. A soldier is not trained to sit in the barracks. He's trained to be sent. Just like God has equipped us not to sit on the sidelines, but to walk in His mission. So don't settle for ordinary, because we're not ordinary. Another song that we heard last weekend talks about that. Live as light in the world. Walk boldly in the greater works God has prepared for you. And I just want to read 1 John 4:4 once again, and then we'll close out here. It says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." I want you to remember three things. You have a greater identity as a child of God. You have a greater power because the Spirit of God dwells in you. And you have a greater purpose to do the good works that He has prepared for you to do. So when trials come, when fear whispers, when the world presses in, remember, we are all called to something greater. Heavenly Father, thank you for being a wonderful Father to us all. Thank you for calling us to a greater purpose, one that is just so far beyond what we could ask or think, Father. And some of us are still figuring it out, and that's okay. But in the meantime, just ask for your protection, your guidance, and your hand over our lives, Father. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.